Blog Talk Radio.
They call me Mr. Motivator, and it's my stage name. I also perform not only motivational speaking, but I also perform stand-up comedy. And I'm looking at all of you guys today, and I want to say to you, they're just right. You see, so many of us have a lot inside of us, but for some reason,
welcome, everyone. You've just tuned in to the Mr. Motivator Show. I'm your host, Dwight Jeffrey, reminding you that success is yours. If you dare to dream and keep thinking big, you will discover your purpose in life. You've tuned in to another exciting broadcast, and I want to say hello to everyone, especially if you're a new caller or a new guest tuning into our broadcast. And before we get started, I want to say one thing to each and every one of you. Put down that piece of chicken and that potato salad, because it's time for you to get some motivation and some inspiration. The title of our show today, Growth Through Storytelling. We're going to discuss the importance of storytelling in the lives of children. You know, children are our most precious commodity. Children are sometimes molded and motivated based on storytelling by our parents and by our grandparents. Storytelling can mean major changes in an individual's life, and that can be a good thing. And if you're tuning in for the first time, also I'd like to remind you that you can join us for a live broadcast by dialing area code 323-580-5712. If you'd like to check out my blog, just simply go to dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. That's dwightjeffrey.blogspot.com. And you can check out my website to find out where I'm performing and things that are going on with me, and that is cmrmotivator.com. The letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR.com. You can check out some of my speeches, my comedy, and find out what I'm doing. Before we get started, I would like to bring out my guest, because storytelling is a part of each and all of us. Growth through storytelling has not only had an impact on me, but it's also impacted my guest today. My guest also is an educator. She's a speaker. She's a life coach. She's also an author and a host of her own radio show called Let's Talk Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome my friend, the one and only, the beautiful, the talented, the witty, Miss Joyce Bullock.
Okay, well, I thank you so very much, Mr. Motivator, and I am thoroughly motivated to be here with you today.
Awesome.
And your show should offer some great content for our hearts, and to give us something to build on in our day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
Because storytelling is a gift.
Okay.
And it's a gift that God put in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we should use our gifts to motivate and to mold and to bless others.
Wow.
So this is why your show should be very powerful today.
Awesome. Now, I want to start out by saying, being an educator, I've often come across children, teenagers, who seem to be lost as far as their identity was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because they knew nothing about their family, what their family stood for, or what they were involved with. So tell me, what do you think about that?
Well, I get a little sad now.
Mm-hmm.
talking and looking at our younger generation because
yes,
they don't have any good storytellers in their family.
Yes.
Back when I was growing up, and people always use us as old school.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in old school and new school, old school had sound doctrine. Not only was it sound, our parents loved us enough, and they wanted us to be molded in a certain direction, which I think is so much better than the way our kids are molded now.
Yes.
Our kids now don't have anything to look forward to because they don't know where they came from.
Yes.
They don't know why they're going in the direction they're going, but they're doing it because basically our young people now, or our children, they're really bringing themselves up, making their own decisions. No one is sitting down with them to teach them anything because our young people now are motivated and molded by technology, games, television, whatever is on TV, whatever games that they can use their fingers to speed through something, that's what's really molding our kids. It has nothing to do with storytelling. Like I said, storytelling is a gift. And when you have a lot of young people now, they can remember, oh, I remember Uncle Charlie used to tell us something, but they don't have parents now that's into storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I believe our children are being molded into everything but a good kid. And I think it's just horrible when you look at it, how it's dying out for our children.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I have some friends that are actually professional storytellers, and I went to an event just recently. My wife and I, one of my friends, Mr. Bill O'Reilly,
mm-hmm.
who is a professional storyteller,
mm-hmm.
and there were quite a few people that came out to the event to listen to him share stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just awesome. They were funny. They made us laugh. But also we could see the love and the emotion coming from him as he shared some of the stories, because even though they made him laugh, it took him back to his aunt, who he was so fond of, and his grandmother. And you could see the emotion and in his face, and his eyes sort of welded up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because that brought a part to his life that made him who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he remembered those stories, and now he told us that he was able to pass on all of it to his children, and his children are passing on to their grandchildren.
And that's what we know about history, making history.
Yes.
First of all, to being a gifted storyteller
mm-hmm.
has great advantages.
Yes.
And if you, a well-crafted narrative that you're putting together in your mind, it keeps people, values, and life lessons that you hold dear, and give you the power to influence your children,
mm.
your employees, or whomever you come in contact with. These are things that you can't get. Storytelling comes from things that actually meant something. You focus on that particular thing of memory
yeah.
in order to be able to pass it on. So therefore, what your story that you're telling has value. And it does shape you into what you are today.
Yes.
Do you know there's such a decline in caring? There's a decline in everything that has to do with someone being emotionally attached.
Yes.
People, we don't have good storytelling anymore. We're not passing those experiences on to someone else. We're not passing them on. They're dying. We're looking at a young kid who's 9. Their mother is 20. Their grandmother is 30. You understand what I'm saying? And it's such a, it's that space between that grandmother, that mother, and onto that child. What experiences have they had to pass on?
Yes.
And that's where we're detached. Mm-hmm. That's why caring, we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Tell me the last time you're an educator.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the last time you sat in the midst of some kids and listened to them pique their imagination and talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
Yes.
Because kids don't imagine things anymore. They have no imaginary friends. They have no place that they can go and become creative in their minds. And I believe that storytelling actually provokes those places. Storytelling actually gives a child a desire. I want to go places. I want to go places in my mind. I want to experience these things. I can remember I was raised in a home with mother, father, sisters, two sisters, one brother. And my older sister had a son who was my nephew. We were raised like brother and sister.
Yes.
Now, we didn't have a television set. We didn't have a PlayStation 2. We didn't have a PlayStation 3. We didn't have, what's the first one? But we didn't have an Atari. I believe that's probably one of the oldest games you could have.
Yeah.
We didn't have it. We didn't have a Nintendo. We didn't have, you know, if we didn't have a television, we didn't have a computer.
Right.
But our parents were very adamant about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
They told us stories of things that happened to them when they were young.
Yes.
And it gave us something to focus on. This
yeah.
is where my parents came
yes.
from. This is, these are my roots.
It gave you a sense of pride.
Yes.
Yes.
And I remember one of the greatest lessons, and I tell this to my grandbaby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a word that's called overbearing. I learned as a little girl that's not a good word to be called, you know. And for those of you out there, just pick up the dictionary and look up the word overbearing. And it came from a story that my dad told me about his baby brother. He said, my baby brother was a very overbearing person. And they told us he did this, he did that, he did that. He had no conscience for another person's feelings. So, and he said he died at a young age.
Yeah.
Because his dad actually prophesied, my grandfather actually prophesied the death of his baby son, and prophesied it to the year, how old he would be when he passed away. And he said, but he was so overbearing that he hurt people everywhere he went, and he had to stop. And if he didn't stop, God was going to take him out. And that's exactly what happened. My uncle was an excellent swimmer, but he drowned in 3 feet of water.
Mm.
And that always had such an impact on me because I never wanted to be an overbearing person. That was the one word. I worked at it. I will never be overbearing. So that story, in essence, helped to mold me.
Mm-hmm.
Into the person that I am.
Wow. So did you and your parents say sometimes, like when y'all were eating dinner, did the family share a story at the dinner table?
Not only that, we had a radio, and my dad listened to KRLD news.
Mm-hmm.
But when there was no news on, we would lay in the floor, and my dad and mom would sit in a chair on the couch or whatever. But they would tell us about what happened when they grew up.
Wow.
And it gave us a sense of direction.
Yes.
About who we are, where we wanted to go, how we wanted to get there, and we didn't want to be caught outside of, you know, doing anything wrong.
Yes.
And so I am so happy to say there were four of us. None of us, my older sister, she's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But she never, none of us ever been to prison, locked up. You know, we don't have police records. And I'm not saying we're perfect, but it was those storytelling things that helped to mold us into being what we wanted to be and what we should have been.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I remember listening once I was visiting at your home, and I was listening to you and your daughter, and I don't know if it was another, but y'all were sharing some stories, and it was you had me laughing because I think you said one of your aunts was a comedian, and I get tickled when I think about that what you guys said that she did to get a laugh. Makes me laugh now.
Yeah. And we were, I guess you say, we were stuck with not only her being our aunt, but she lived in the country. We lived in the country.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have a telephone, so no one ever called and told us our aunt was coming to visit for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, 6 weeks. She would be there sometimes a long time. We would go uptown to buy groceries, and she just would be sitting on the street waiting for us to come uptown because, you know, being in a small town, she would just ride the bus to our hometown and get off the bus and be sitting there. And we'd go like, oh, Lord, she's here, you know. But, you know, we lived through it. It was painful for us because she was such a controlling person. You know, good person, and she did a lot of things for laughs, but as we became creative children, we always got the last laugh because we would scare her sometimes. She didn't she didn't realize it was us until after it was over. She used to say that my mom and dad needed to beat us because we would always, you know, scare her.
Yeah.
But my whole life was developed through storytelling.
Wow. You know, it's so powerful. You know, and I know you and your family are very close. And what I like about your family is that you all, especially you allowed us to visit with you during the holidays. And it was just amazing to see all of you gather around and share stories with each other. It was just so heartwarming and everything. And that really touched me. In fact, it reminded me of my upbringing because my grandmother was a great storyteller. She told us a lot of great stories, and she had a story for every challenge or trouble you got into. There was a story.
It was.
And then, if she wanted to get us motivated to go to church or stay in church, okay, she had another story that related to why you need to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was just awesome. My mother is a great storyteller, and my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I was motivated into telling a story because I enjoyed it so much because they said Dwight has taken his stories to the extreme. But I remember us gathering around in the living room, and they said, okay, Dwight, it's your turn. And for some reason, I love the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to share the story some of the stories that they shared. But they said, Dwight, your stories are totally different, and they've gone into a whole. And they say, you're really better than just good at telling stories. And my grandma said, he's close to telling lies. it motivates me, yes.
Storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Is not just a fabricated story. No. They come from life issues.
Yes, and the experiences that
go behind. And this is something that helps us on the inside to become better people. I have a granddaughter who is exceptional. She is awesome. And when she goes to bed at night, we don't just read stories from a book. She always asks me, tell me about some things that happened when you were growing up.
Wow.
She feeds off of that. She likes to hear about me getting in trouble and how my mom, you know, whooped my butt because we didn't get spanking.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people now, just for the sake of what is the CPS?
Yes.
You spank your children. No, we got our butts whipped. And I don't ever want to remember my mom whipping me with a switch.
Yes.
She didn't. My mom whooped me with the little metal, the leather things that go in the horse's mouth, the leather lines that hook to the horse's bridle.
Oh, yeah. Those things
are pretty. That's what we got our butts
whipped. Those things are pretty. They don't break easier.
Uh-uh. Or a razor strap.
Yeah.
You know, the strap that the...
Yeah, that the barber's
sharpening that razor on.
Mm-hmm.
We got our butts whipped with that. So we weren't just really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we would do things. But I've told my granddaughter just about all the stories that had happened, the things that happened to me growing up, and she loves it. She shares it with everybody.
She does? Wow.
And she remembers it.
Yeah.
And that's one good thing about storytelling. When you have a good story to tell,
yes,
it's something that you remember.
That's right.
It becomes a part of you.
It sure does.
And it's, like I say, it's going to mold you in some way. And so, and then she gets, I had a, we had neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't next door neighbors. We were across the field neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two little old ladies. Well, you get ready to go through the gate into their front yard. They had the cutest little brick walkway.
Mm-hmm.
The bricks were just right together. And I was so impressed by those bricks. And we didn't have one at home. So my mom and dad had gone to buy groceries. And, you know, back in the day, if you bought groceries, we didn't have sacks of groceries sitting on the table. We had a box because when you go to the grocery store, they had to put your flour, which is a big bundle. But anyway, they put it all in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did buy bread, loaves of bread, and when they unloaded the groceries, they laid the bread on the table. Well, my nephew and I, which I'm 2 years older than he is, I decided I was going to make a walkway like in front of those two old ladies' houses. And the only thing I had to make them with was those slices of bread. So my mom used to sing going through the house all the time. You knew she was working. She was humming a tune.
Yeah.
So we had put those bread slices together like those bricks were.
Uh-huh.
We made
the
a
brick roll.
Circle around the table.
Yeah.
And we were on top of them walking.
On the bread?
On the bread.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a walk. It was a brick walkway. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, you were using your imagination?
Yes. Well, my mom was coming down, and when you had to pass the dining area to go into the kitchen, and
yeah,
she was just a humming. She got to that door, and she said, well, I'll be got, and you guys know what the other word was. And we just froze.
Yeah.
And when she got through with us,
uh-huh,
we didn't make any more walkways.
Especially
out of the bread. No, we saved that till we didn't even want a walkway when we got grown up.
Yeah, but you learned eventually.
That helped to mold us.
That helped mold and,
mm-hmm,
and it developed character. And you know, you made me think of something that I got in trouble. We had a school play, and when we got home, back then they had a syrup in the buckets, and I slipped in the kitchen because we'd already eaten, and it was late that night. It was on a Friday night, so everybody was in bed, so I was up. I got up around 10. I slipped in the kitchen to get me some more of that syrup so I could fix me some biscuits with it. So when I opened up the syrup bucket, it slipped, and the syrup just spilled all on the floor. And my mother came in and saw that syrup on the floor, And she paddled my behind real good, and
whipped you.
And my kids,
motivator.
My daughters laugh about it now, and they said, "Dad, did that stop you from eating syrup?" I said, "No, I just learned to be more creative, but not getting caught."
You get it, yeah. Because I know back in the day, old as you are, that syrup was Brer Rabbit syrup, and it was stiff. You know, it takes you about an hour to pour out of your plate. So if you wasted it on the floor, she had
She had a job. Could you imagine?
She had a job to get that,
that
up.
That syrup was thicker than motor oil.
Yeah, oh.
And she had to mop all that up. And so I didn't forget that little paddling from a
that was not a paddling. Go ahead and tell the truth. She whipped you. Because you just didn't throw away food back in the day. You just didn't do it.
I know. And then after that, she told me, she said, because of you doing that, you and your little friends, Lawrence and the rest of them, they're not going to get any certain business when they come over to play with you tomorrow.
But you had one of her friends, Lawrence, she didn't eat syrup. She, you know, she was molded a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't eat syrup. She didn't eat all those ethnic things.
So you say. But, you know, it's funny, and I look at now, even doing comedy, I was pushed into comedy because of my storytelling in a group I was involved with, and called Toastmasters. And they got me into doing speech making and comedy, and I know anything, my career just launched.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed storytelling, and I look back, it came from growing up, having a lot of rich stories and laughter and experiences. And do you know, Lawrence, I was doing some research, and it said that the top comedians in the country, in the world, are some of the best storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Cosby was one of the best at being able to share something in his life. And it,
mm-hmm.
and it was a story, but it was so effective that it made him a very successful man.
Mm-hmm.
So storytelling is not anything anything that's new. Storytelling is just a way of life.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true. We talk about our children. It is so good to make your children expose them to storytelling.
Yes.
Because then they know that little thing that's working on the inside of them, that magic thing that they're thinking about, and becoming up, you know, their imagination is running to this way, then that validates who they are and what they're thinking. And children don't think, oh, well, I'm weird.
Yes.
Because I'm feeling this way. Because we have been that way growing up as children. We have had been imaginative on a lot of things.
Yes.
And based on the storytelling that has happened to us,
mm-hmm.
It does open your mind up to become creative in the mind.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing some research. Barney Mac, my cousin, Barney Mac was a great storyteller, and Bernie had a rough childhood coming up. He was kind of sickly, and they lived where they in a place where the church was right up on them, and he got to hear the minister with a lot of things. The minister shared a lot of things that in church, funny stories, and so Bernie Mac picked up on a lot of those different stories and everything, and so he was able to go into comedy and relate those stories and turn them into a sitcom, turn them into a show.
Of course.
And who else? Oh, and Richard Pryor had a rough childhood. Richard grew up in a place that wasn't really acceptable for a child to be at.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to take his experiences and what he saw when he with his I don't know if it was his dad or grandmom that
mm-hmm.
raised him, but
mm-hmm.
the kind of people that was there and the lives and people in all kinds of relationship Richard was able to take those things that he saw and transform them into a story and become very successful. So storytelling is a way of life. And guess what else I found out in research? Most of the successful corporations and companies, their leaderships, when they have meetings, they share stories with their employees, with their managers, and stories about their competitors and how they did this and that.
Right.
And then I went back and did a little bit more research, and I found out that some of the greatest teams to ever play in the NFL and different sports, their coaches were great storytellers. Vince Lombardi would share his experiences with his teams and stories. Vince Lombardi, there's a lot of great coaches in the locker room than in practice. They would share these stories with their with the guys, with their team, and it would motivate those people to go further. Go ahead. I know you have something else.
No, you're absolutely right. When you have to realize what a great part of life storytelling holds.
Yes.
It's a part of life that everyone needs.
Yes.
And like I say, when your life is void of storytelling, it doesn't give you an opportunity to open your mind up in places that others have who have experienced the storytelling.
Yes.
And to be a good storyteller, that's a skill.
Yes, it is.
It's a skill that everyone don't have it. But it's just, and a lot of people don't have it because of the exposure.
Yes.
We have to be exposed to different things in order to where our minds can become open and creative. If not, we're all going to, you know, think the same thing, think the same way, and life is going to be boring.
You know, I agree. If there wasn't, if there weren't any storytelling, how could some of the great leaders of today, like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, how could they have explored the areas that they were able to go into had their imaginations not been developed? And I think that's where we're missing it, not allowing the, our children to have the experience of stories being shared with them and allow them to share stories. Because when you cut off the imagination, guess what? Your creativity does not kick in. And I believe that has a lot to do with your creativity. Mm-hmm. And I met your granddaughter, Kennedy, and she is one of the,
awesome,
the most creative, imaginative, articulate young lady I've met. And at her age, how old is she?
She was 7 a week ago.
She's 7 years old, and this young lady is just incredible. She uses her imagination to create things. She loves to share stories.
Yes.
She's very advanced for her age. And you know what? I think I contribute a lot of her success to you taking the time as a grandmother to share those rich stories and give her something to draw from.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love doing it, and when we go to school, we make, you know, a lot of people say you're making memories, which it's okay how you want to label it, as long as you get it out there to your family, to your children. And the days that I drive my granddaughter to school, she and I do storytelling right there in the car all the way to school.
Wow.
And she asked me the other day, because we leave out of where we live, which is a little section of the DFW area, and move into another area where her school is. Well, she asked me what was the place called between where the sign that says we're leaving where we live and the sign that says we're entering the other little. She said, well, what is that in between? Because there is a space between there.
Yes.
And so I said, well, I guess, you know, they'll probably say it belongs to both of them. But she and I tell stories on the way to school. And we have this thing now that we both do late-breaking stories This is Fox 4 News, and this is a late-breaking story. But something will happen, and she'll say, here's another late-breaking story moment, you
wow.
know? And so, you know, it causes her to be creative,
yeah.
and I create settings for her. But we just have a good time. And hopefully
yeah.
That will motivate her to do, to bring out of her what, you know, what's in her to do. That it'll feed that. It'll be a catalyst for her to be able to do something. So that's how you know it's important to do things with children.
Wow.
To help children. Even my kids that are grown now, we have moments that we do storytelling because I had a little car once when my son was little.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you all know what Knight Rider is,
mm-hmm.
but
I
he thought we had a Knight Rider car. But we would play those games, going back and forth to school or to the babysitter as I was going to work. And he would say, don't push that button on Mommy's car because it will be just like a Knight Rider car.
Well, you know, see, and that lets me know why your children are so creative. And that's why they call me Mr. Motivate, because I love to motivate people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that storytelling is one of the main tools that's used to motivate people.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling is used to motivate people, to inspire audiences. Storytelling is a way to get people to transform themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You
into
know,
something that's positive.
Into something that's positive. You know, say, for instance, there's a school and a kid that was on the team. The kid lost his life, or the kid was in an accident, but he loved his team. Okay? Well, the coach or the school, they come together and they tell the story of that kid's life and say, you know, because it meant so much to him, we're going to win this game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
is for little Bobby.
It's molding
and motivating.
It's motivating. Mm-hmm.
And another thing, you know, I think about storytelling is that we need to investigate it and look at it more, look more closely. Another guy that I saw when I was looking at storytelling, well, his name is Art Link Letter.
Mm-hmm.
Art Link Letter.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer with us, but
right.
this man was so amazing at telling stories, and he loved to make them funny. And he was so good. To me, he motivated the kids because when we were kids,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't wait to see his show.
Yeah.
And he'd say, kids say the darndest things. And
mm-hmm.
he would ask kids questions and have kids do things. And it made me appreciate being a kid. And my parents couldn't wait to tune in and watch the show. In fact, my wife, that was one of her number one shows growing up, Art Link Letter Show.
Yes.
She laughs today when she thinks about it.
I can imagine. And that was actually before my time. I do remember.
Before your time?
Yes, I actually remember seeing I remember seeing, reading about Art Link Letter, and, you know, I wasn't, you know, back in those days, they were, you know, that was, you guys are much older than me, but
mm-hmm.
I can still relate to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't have many people. Do you know of anyone now that spends their time motivating kids by storytelling that's now on TV?
No, actually, I really don't. I don't see a lot of shows like that. I think we need more shows like that.
We do need some. Let me tell you, I looked at something the other day. There's this phenomenon that's going around called twerking.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing wrong with twerking.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw a little baby, and I feel like you're a baby if you're still wearing Huggies,
mm-hmm.
you know, a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Baby has on his little pamper, Huggies, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he is twerking like a grown-up.
Oh, no.
He's hitting that music. He's really hitting it. I mean, you know, the young people now say, turn up, turn up. This little boy he was on beat, and they would drop it down low. He would drop it low. He would do everything.
Wow.
And I said, how sad that this baby cannot put on regular underwear. But he can twerk like that and so precise.
Wow.
And then I saw another one where a grown woman in a two-piece bikini-like thing was twerking. And a little boy who, I guess he might have been four, was behind her twerking with her. But he was doing it like he was a grown man.
Wow.
And I said again, how sad is that?
Yes.
That this is what we're teaching our children. We're not, that's not going to mold them into anything positive.
No, it's not.
And then I saw another little boy that his parents, he could skateboard. He was in a Pamper. This little boy could ride a skateboard better than some adults. And the only thing somebody could say was, he out there without a shirt on. You know, and I think that was, if I've got to teach them twerking or riding a skateboard, I'd much rather teach them how to ride a skateboard.
I hear you, because at least they're learning a skill.
At least they're learning a skill, whereas you're just teaching him, these little kids that all is twerking, these babies, you're teaching them a road to be perverse, something that's not sound. Where is that going to get them wealth from?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What job is there on down the road for the best twerker? And you got a million folks trying to twerk.
Walmart got that sold up with the twerkers.
That's true. I mean, who can compete with Walmart twerkers?
And they're not getting paid for it.
And then they're not getting paid. If it's not going to bring create you some kind of compensation, it's a waste of time. And I think you're absolutely right. We need to get back to storytelling, and we need to get more shows like that on TV. Mm-hmm. We need to pass it on to our children, because if we don't, those little kids, what are they going to pass on their kids, twerking?
Yeah,
and that's it.
Some adult has passed it on to them.
Some adult has passed on them, because that adult that passed it on to them did not have anything else to pass except that.
That is so horrible.
Yes.
You know, and so I really do feel sorry for our youth.
I agree.
We don't know what they're going to be tomorrow. We don't know what vat they've fallen into to be molded. All we can do is just, when they come up, pray that they come out doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no way we can't do that.
You know, we
don't know what we've molded them to be. Mm-mm. We don't know how positively motivated they are.
Yes, and everything, you know, in order for kids to be effective, in order for them to have a future, they must tap into their minds, their skills, their potential. And if we're not teaching them to use their creativity process, to use their imagination, we're not feeding them anything that's going to motivate them to tap into that. They're going to be lost.
Yes, and it's really sad. I saw a video of some little girls, had to be 4 and 5.
Yes.
That I wish it was some way that YouTube or Facebook, all these different social media could find who these people are on these videos, so that they can press charges against some of them. Because I saw some little girls, they had to be 4 and 5, cursing each other, wasn't nothing clean coming out of their mouth.
Yes.
And then they had teenagers there filming it on there with their phones. They needed to have charges brought against them, because you have just sat and watched a young person's mind absolutely be destroyed.
Yes.
And you know those kids had to have gotten that from someplace. That's where'd
right.
they get it from?
Yeah, where'd they get it from? And what I think is that if we can sit around and not all day and look at something to do and create something that's going to get attention, but something that's going to get a negative attention, couldn't we switch that and create something
that's
positive,
do a positive.
And get some a positive attention?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're channeling the youth. They're channeling their mind in negative areas,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to stifle their growth.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
I think storytelling is a great tool. It's a trend that not only now, it will be here tomorrow, and we should tap into that and try to leave a legacy behind for our children.
That's right. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't understand storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Storytelling is spending quality time with your kid talking.
Yes.
Just talk. You know, just talk, pique the interest of that child. And I don't mean talk about something some adult needs to talk about or your sexual escapades or how many women he needs to have or how many boyfriends she needs to have. But just talk. Share. It's called sharing. Storytelling is an oral way of sharing.
Yes.
Positive energy.
Yes.
And that's how you do it orally. Say, I'm going to orally share my positive energy with my kid today.
Yes.
And you would be surprised at how they will begin to feed on what you say to them. And then we will, that takes away us trying to make somebody else your child's role model.
I agree.
And then when you, Hannah Montana should never have been anyone's role model because she was going to grow up one day and be Miley Cyrus twerking on, you know, on
right.
You're national
right.
TV.
You, I agree with you 100%. When we don't do our jobs at home, then we want to go and blame the world or want to sue Miley Cyrus
mm-hmm.
because she's not a role model. But what about you? Let me ask you a question. How many children do you have?
I have 3 biological children,
mm-hmm.
and I have, let's see, in addition, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 7 to 10 that I've had some hand in their life
yes.
growing up.
Well, let me ask you this. Have any of your children been locked up for selling drugs and
well, not yet.
Doing anything like that?
Not
yeah.
yet. Thank God. But let me tell you what you can influence children.
Okay, now before you go, that one other question I got to ask, I think you're going to cover that. But are you close to your children?
Yes.
Okay, because a lot of parents can't say that they're close.
Let
to
me
their
tell
children.
You what I don't believe.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe that I can have dialogue with my children. I don't care if they're 0 to 800
yes.
years old.
Okay.
I correct my children. I don't care how old they are.
Okay.
Because I have been
uh-huh.
around that teacup. They're just trying to find the handle.
Yes.
But I've been around that teacup.
Uh-huh.
And they may not want to listen,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
And I find some people, oh, I can't tell, you know, Johnny grown.
Yes, I've heard a lot of parents
yes,
say that.
Johnny is grown.
I can't
and guess
grown.
What? I'm growner.
Yes.
If that's the word.
Oh,
I'm growner than my child.
Right.
So I don't care if my children don't like me.
Yes.
I didn't come here to be your buddy.
Yes.
I came here to be your mentor, your whatever it is, your role model. That's what I came to be to you.
Yes.
And to give you direction.
Mm-hmm.
I came to be used to mold you in the proper direction. So if that means you and I don't kick it at the club together, I don't, even when I was clubbing, I didn't club with my children. I'm never going to sit down and crack open a glass of nothing with my children.
Yes.
I'm not going to do that.
Yes.
Because I want them to always respect me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to, when I tell them something, they're going to know that I mean it.
Yes.
So we're not going to kick it and be buddies.
Yes.
You know, I love my children. I want them to be able to come to me and talk to me about anything, but know that when I open my mouth,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you some sound advice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say, girl, you know, and high five you unless you're doing something very positive and good. Then I'm going to high five you all day long. But I'm still going to do it in a way that I can remain a parent.
Yes.
And that's what we sometimes take the storytelling away, and we reduce ourselves to being a buddy, a partner.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody to kick it with.
A friend that's not going to say anything and let you make your own decisions.
Mm-mm. No, because some decisions you make are fatal. And I don't want my children to have any fatalities that just stems on because I shut my mouth.
I agree with you, because isn't life about choices? And,
yeah.
and if we make good choices, it's going to pay off. If we make the wrong choices,
mm-hmm.
they can be detrimental to us.
And what parent wouldn't want to help steer their child into a positive choice?
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
But there are ways you can pray.
Yeah, but it's there needs things. To be some communication, some dialogue.
Yes.
And if there's no room for storytelling, that, like you said, that takes away the commonality to be able to dialogue, because that's the purpose of a story, to relate. To, I understand
mm-hmm.
what you're going through. Let me relate through a story that that I've experienced that you can
yes.
help you.
And we have many. We
yes.
have many experiences in life that
mm-hmm.
happened when we were young
yes.
that will absolutely help us as we go forth, you know, in life.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing to everyone is, you may not be a real skillful storyteller, but start trying it with your children
yes.
and your grandchildren and your stepchildren. As long, you know, you catch a child in their informative years, you're molding them. You're motivating them.
Yes, you are absolutely right. Now, Lois, where can a person go if they say, well, no, I didn't grow up in an environment where there was storytelling. How can I be a storyteller? Where can they go to find out information about how to learn how to become a storyteller?
Well, first of all, it's really not an art to it. I mean, there is an art to it, but it's no secret where you can find it. The majority of the things that you find comes from deep within yourself.
Okay.
Go within yourself.
Yes.
You'll have some experiences in
That's
life.
That's right. Everybody
if
has
you have experiences,
itself.
If it was nothing but with the milkman
yes.
or the paper boy,
uh-huh.
sit down and start telling your children, you know, I remember one day this boy threw the paper, and we were doing it, and before you know it, you have related a story to them
wow.
that they can
That's
cling
right.
on to.
Awesome.
And the another thing is, start listening.
Mm-hmm.
Start listening to other people.
Yes.
You know, I'm telling my story to you. It may not be your experience, but share my experience.
I agree with you 100%. And I know, as being an educator, one of the things that educators, you can they even tweet this on social networks, and it's on Facebook, and it's going all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Stop bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop the bullying, fight bullying campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about you, Lois? I believe that if they can inject more storytelling into this aspect, it could help to resolve some of the bullying that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If more of the parents and people in general come together with storytelling to help alleviate some of this bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But because bullying isn't being addressed. Nobody should bully anybody. But I think
we know they shouldn't bully.
Right.
But I think that society nowadays, we're putting a Band-Aid on the bullying process.
Yes, I agree.
To tell somebody is not going to stop the bullying.
No.
First of all, the person who is bullying
is
a sad person.
Yes.
That person is hurting.
Uh-huh.
That person needs something within. Somebody needs to take them, hug them, love them, sit down beside them and say, baby, what is the problem? Come on, I'm going to help you solve it.
Yes.
And you'll find that a lot of bullies come from an overbearing, pushy relationship in the home. They're being treated badly, so they're hurting. So they have to make someone else hurt along with them.
Yes.
So we just have to recognize it. And we got teachers who are so blinded. We've got teachers in areas who don't know they're overlooking the bullies right there in their classroom.
Right in the midst of
you know that child is a bully. Figure out why he's a bully.
Yes.
But we don't want to do that. We don't want to do it.
That's
so,
you're right. The bully is right there. We don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank you for coming out here today and sharing this awesome information with us about storytelling. And thank you for letting us see how it's having an effect in your life and your family.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think the best testimony, the best content is when you have a person who's actually experienced this and practiced what they are preaching. Okay, now I want to say this to the people who are tuned into the broadcast today. It's never too late to learn. You can start now, as my friend Lord said, and to pull out the pull experiences from within yourself and start sharing those stories. And some of you have some amazing stories that will bring laughter to the people around the world. Some of you have stories that will really enhance other people's lives. And I want to put a challenge out to everyone who's listened to the broadcast today. If you have a story, a funny story, if you have an event, an experience that you'd like to share, I want to challenge you to share that story. Share that story on video,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, and guess what? If you put it out there, there are people that may want to hear and they can open doors for you. And if you're interested in doing that, I'd like for you to go to my website, cmrmotivator.com. That's the letter C as in cow, MRMOTIVATOR, cmrmotivator.com. I invite you to go to my website and find out how you can share your stories and make money, because people are looking for opportunities. And if you can take your story and put it on a video, you can make money. Go to my website, cmrmotivator.com, and look for the links that will share you how that will give you information on how to share your story on video and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And Lois, was a final word you wanted to say?
Just a final word you said earlier in the broadcast.
Yes.
When your grandmother used to tell you stories, she would tell you stories based on who you were. So understand this: storytelling is not so much about the story,
mm-hmm.
but it's about sharing with a person that has a specific need.
Yes.
You have a story to fit that need.
Yes.
And it will meet the need of that person, and you know, and that's how you bring about change in that person's life, because you have just told them a story that's covering that need at that moment. Storytelling is the same everywhere, a different context, same result.
Awesome. Well, Lois, thank you for that. You've done a great job again. Thank you for coming out and being with us on the broadcast. Okay, folks, we hope you've enjoyed the broadcast today. We hope you were able to take down some notes. Now, go out and share your story, share your experience, because someone may be in dire need of what you have to share with them. Again, folks, we'll be with you the same time, the same place next week for another exciting broadcast. See you on Mr. Motivator. Have a great weekend.